This is the Aspen Public Radio newscast. I'm your host, Megan Tackett. Here with your top stories this Friday. Democrats in the Colorado legislature introduced a bill last month that would authorize local governments to impose a new vacancy tax on unoccupied homes. The measure is aimed at mountain towns where many houses remain empty much of the year. But as Sarah Torrey reports, Picken County commissioners had mixed reactions to the proposal.
State Representative Elizabeth Velasco co-sponsored the bill. She hopes it would incentivize second homeowners to rent out their otherwise empty properties. That could help alleviate the housing shortage in mountain communities. But Picken County Commissioner Jeffrey Woodruff said he doesn't like the idea, noting that
we already have a vacant home tax, basically residences that are unoccupied throughout the year. And for that, they're paying the full boat of taxes, the same that I am. But I'm enjoying all the services. I'm enjoying emergency services. I'm enjoying schools.
Commissioner Kelly McNicholas Curry disagreed.
I would say it's a tax on a different impact. You know, these vacant homes are inflating real estate prices to a degree that have very significant local impact.
A group of mountain town leaders pushed for vacancy tax authority last year, but did not succeed. For Aspen Public Radio, I'm Sarah Torrey.
In arts and culture news, the Art Basin Basalt is hosting its first collaborative exhibition of the new year with two Roaring Fork Valley locals. Aspen Public Radio's Reagan Mertz has more on their show.
Locals Lindsay Jones and Michael Stout have worked together over the past year to complete Creative Destruction. During that time, Colorado saw its worst wildfire season in years, which inspired Stout's pieces.
It is this destructive thing, but there's this regrowth that happens. You know, that creative destruction concept, I think, started to creep into my thinking about what we're seeing on a social, political level.
Both Stout and Jones say President Trump's first year back in office and the decisions he's made influenced their work. And Jones found a thread between the destructive nature of wildfire and the nature of the Trump administration's actions.
We've correlated this idea of the wildfire to not only like the process and the way that we work, but also the way that the government has been destroying things. And we hope that something beautiful will eventually come of all this terrible decision making.
The opening reception for the exhibit, which includes cut paper, digital processes, and mixed media, is 5 to 7 p.m. tomorrow. For Aspen Public Radio, I'm Reagan Mertz.
There will also be a talk with Jones and Stout at 5:30 tomorrow. Aspen Santa Fe Ballet announced yesterday that they are canceling a performance of Le Ballet Africain that was slated for next week. Le Ballet Africain is the national dance company of Guinea. They initially had their visas approved, but since the U.S. has stopped accepting visas from Guinea, the group cannot travel to the U.S. right now. Le Ballet Africain was set for a highly anticipated North American tour, half of which they now have to cancel, including performances in Aspen, Santa Fe, Florida, and California. In a statement to ticket holders, Aspen Santa Fe Ballet stated that, quote, "In these unprecedented times, we remind ourselves that the arts can gather and unite us, helping us find common ground. Dance transcends barriers, politics, language, borders, and connects us to the essential human spirit we all share." Aspen's performance was supposed to be on February 12th at the District Theater. Refunds will be given to those who had bought tickets. In statewide news, at the end of 2025, the Trump administration ordered an aging coal plant in Northwest Colorado to stay open, citing a so-called regional energy emergency. Now, its operating company is telling the federal government it would be too costly to maintain the plant, which was scheduled to shut down on New Year's Eve. Rocky Mountain Community Radio's Caroline Yannis has more.
Tri-State Generation and the Platte River Power Authority operate Craig Station 1. The 10-year phase-out of the coal-fired plant began in 2016, with plans for it to sunset on December 31st of last year, for both economic reasons and to comply with Colorado's clean energy goals. Craig 1 was shut down as of December 19th, due to mechanical issues, but after the Department of Energy order, operators did repairs to restart it. In a press release, Tri-State and Platte River say they'll comply with federal law, but are appealing the decision to keep the plant open, saying they don't feel it's necessary. Because both companies are co-ops, they say rate-paying customers in both western and southern Colorado and on the Front Range would bear the burden of the repairs and maintenance. Consulting group Grid Strategies estimates that it would cost $85 million each year to continue operating the plant. Caroline Yanez, Rocky Mountain Community Radio.
The city of Loveland is leaning into its name with its annual Valentine remailing program. Each year, around 100,000 Valentine's cards pass through Loveland's post office as part of the program, which allows anyone in the world to send a card bearing a special Loveland postmark. People mail a pre-addressed, pre-stamped Valentine inside a larger envelope to the Loveland post office. Volunteers then add a special Valentine's Day verse to the envelope before the cards are taken to a designated post office to receive the Loveland postmark. Dixie Daly with the Loveland Chamber of Commerce says the 80-year program is a point of pride for the city.
So Ted Maple, he was actually the president of the Loveland Chamber, and he started this program, and we continued this program since 1946. The love he showed us to have, we continued it in his honor, and we're, you know, just so excited to have so much involvement in this.
People have until Monday, February 9th, to get a Valentine postmarked from Loveland for delivery to someone in Colorado. More information is available at loveland.org. And in regional news, amid fears of ICE crackdowns, there's been a spike in tribal members applying for delayed birth certificates. For the Mountain West News Bureau, Gabriel Peterazio has more.
Last year, 305 residents applied for delayed birth certificates across Navajo County, two-thirds of which covers tribal lands belonging to Navajos, Hopis, and White Mountain Apaches. Violet Redbird Nez, who is Kiowa and Diné, is a vital records specialist with County Public Health. She treks to Kanta quarterly to help residents get documented, and for the last 3 months, Redbird Nez says there's an uptick.
They're worried that they might get deported.
There were 22 applicants last month alone. Once the paperwork is filled out, it typically takes 6 weeks.
And it's so endearing to know that they came by to say, hey, thank you for helping me get my birth registered. I'm legal now, is what they say.
For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Gabriel Pietrazio.
The Aspen Public Radio newscast is produced by our team. News director Hallie Zander, reporters Reagan Mertz, Sarah Torrey, Michael Finelli, and me, your host, Megan Tackett. Our contributing reporters include Eleanor Bennett, Josie Taris, and Lucy Peterson. You can listen to the show every weekday morning on our website or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.